Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Wednesday, June the 10th, 2026. 18 minutes past the hour here. You're tuned into WGH Talk. And I was just thinking as I was reading the date that the actual 12-year anniversary of this program and this station is today. Now, our big special will air tomorrow night, 7 to 9 p.m. on the station. You're not going to want to miss it. A lot of dignitaries, a lot of surprises, a lot of entertainment. It's going to be live. It's going to be old-fashioned radio from 7:15 to 9 p.m. tomorrow night on the station. You will not want to miss that for love nor money. But we are celebrating today, especially in a way, because this is the actual date of the 12th anniversary of this station, which means I have now been on the air with this program at this station. Of course, I did programs at other stations over the years, but this station, 12 years, over 9,000 hours of programming. And I have always said, without the guests that we have on, there would be no programming. This guest is this program is guest-driven. A lot of programs are personality-driven. This program is driven by the guest. And one of the great guests we have had over the years is joining us in hour number one this morning, and we are so glad to have him and have been so glad to have him on the program every time he's been on. He is a former governor of the state of Ohio, Democrat, former Democratic governor, the last Democratic governor of the state of Ohio, Ted Strickland. Governor Strickland, how are you?
Well, I'm great, Scott, and it's good to talk with you this morning.
Good to talk with you, as it always is. Heaven knows there's always a lot going on in the world. I want to start here by talking about the big Senate primary last night in Maine for the Democratic Party. This seems to be big news everywhere. Graham Plattner has won the nomination of the Democratic Party. Mr. Plattner has some problems. He once had a Nazi tattoo, which I think he has covered up now. He has had some issues with women, amongst several other things that he has done. Senator Bernie Sanders and Senator Chuck Schumer have both defended him and said, we need to win here, so we're going to have to overlook some of this stuff. He is up on incumbent Susan Collins in the polls, 51% to 49% in Maine. I guess the question, Governor Strickland, is, do you overlook a candidate's flaws or even negatives just to get back the Senate because of who the president is right now?
Well, Scott, let me begin by saying that none of us are without flaws. All of us in our lives, if we have lived very long, have things that we regret and would have done differently in hindsight. This man is a man who has spent years of his life in defense of our nation in war zones. He has acknowledged his faults and his past behaviors. I listened to his speech last night, and he talked at some length about the troubles that he's had in the past. He talked about healing. He talked about coming home from war, a broken man, suffering from the results of that war. He talked about his community embracing him and enabling him to heal. And so I believe his story can be a story of redemption. Now, can I contrast his behavior with the behavior of our president and the Republican Senate candidate in Texas? Our president has really never admitted wrongdoing. He avoids accepting any responsibility for the multiple women who have accused him of misbehavior, sexual assault, and likewise. John Cornyn in Texas is a man who was unfaithful to his wife. His wife has said she's divorcing him on biblical grounds. He's been accused of having multiple affairs while married. His own Republican Party voted to impeach him in Texas for fraudulent behavior. So I'm willing to give Fattener a chance to show that he is a changed man. But I think you can only show you're a changed man if you admit what you've done wrong. And neither Donald Trump nor the Senate candidate in Texas, Cornyn, have been willing to stand before the people and say, I've done wrong and I'm a changed man. That's what I'm looking for. Someone who is willing to accept the fact that they have done wrong and have turned away from that and is trying to live a better life.
You know, Governor Strickland, a lot of people over a lot of years now have overlooked issues with women. Maybe they shouldn't, but they have when it's come to politics. But I think the Nazi tattoo and the anti-Semitic comments that some feel that he made in the past are a bridge too far. But maybe in 2026, they're not a bridge too far.
Well, you know, I've never been to war. I've never been in a war zone. I've never been a part of the military. But I'm thinking, what was Graham Fattener experiencing when he got that tattoo? Was he in a place where multiple soldiers were getting multiple tattoos? Was it an acknowledgement that he was pro-Nazi, or was it some other factor that caused him to get that tattoo? I don't know, but he's got it covered up. He's renounced any anti-Semitism. He certainly has renounced Nazism. And let me also say about him, Scott, some women have complained about what they describe as bad behavior. They have not accused him of sexual assault. Donald Trump was convicted in a court of law for sexual assault of a woman in a department store in New York City. He went before the jury and they found him guilty. So there's a vast difference between what the Republicans are willing to accept in their candidates and what Democrats are willing to accept in our candidates. And I think there's a double standard here. They're focusing on Fattener, but I haven't heard a lot of commentary recently about this Senate candidate, this Paxton in Texas, who has been accused of far worse than anything Paxton has been accused of.
Well, and I think that's a fair point. I just want to ask you this, Governor Strickland. Obviously, you do not live in Maine. You live in Ohio. But if the choices were Susan Collins, somebody who seemingly has a good personal record, but maybe a voting record that you're not so happy about, and Fattener, who would you vote for if you lived in Maine?
Oh, Fattener, no doubt. Let me say this about Susan Collins. Susan Collins is supportive of Donald Trump and his MAGA movement. Because of Susan Collins, we have a Supreme Court that has taken away a woman's right to choose. Because of Susan Collins, we have found ourselves in interminable wars. Because of Susan Collins, we have a president who has violated his oath of office, who has enriched himself at the expense of the American people, who has broken his word by taking us into a war that he promised that he would not take us into. Susan Collins bears responsibility for that. And in my judgment, that far outweighs anything that can be said of Plattner at this point.
Governor Strickland, our president, Donald Trump, has had some very interesting run-ins with the media in the last week. Now, I want to play these clips. Each is less than a minute, but I think they're worth hearing here to get the full aspect of what happened, and we'll take these separately. But here's the first clip. This happened last week. The reporter is Caitlin Collins from CNN. They are at the White House, and President Trump is taking a question from another reporter, not even a question from Caitlin Collins, and this is what happened at the White House last week. Let's take a listen, and we'll come back and discuss this.
We are going to be showing over the coming weeks and months, you're not even going to believe. Some of you will believe it, like CNN will believe it because they knew what was going on. They're crooked as hell. CNN's a very corrupt organization. But with a corrupt reporter standing right there, never smiles. She never smiles. She's a young, beautiful woman, never smiles. I never see a smile off her face. I see her standing there with hatred in her eyes, like she has hatred because we have borders, because we have a strong military, because we cut our taxes, because we do things that everybody wanted, and then we win our election in a massive landslide. You should be ashamed of yourself. You used to be a conservative. She was a conservative from Alabama, can you believe it? But CNN, in particular, CNN does such false reporting. But now they have new ownership, so maybe it'll straighten it out. I doubt it. But it's hard to straighten garbage out.
Our president with Caitlin Collins of CNN, White House correspondent last week. Governor Strickland, when you hear that, what do you think?
I think that he is becoming mentally unraveled. I think he is losing contact with reality. I think he is mean-spirited. I think he has a special dislike for women. Most of the reporters that he talks to that way are women reporters. And what gives him the right, even as President of the United States, to stand and call people names as he does, make assumptions about them as he does? He is a man who is becoming, as I said, unraveled. And, you know, Scott, I was a psychologist many years before I became a politician. And I've worked in a maximum security prison with deranged, disordered people. I recognize if when someone is losing their cognitive and emotional stability. And Donald Trump, in my judgment, to stand there and berate a reporter who had not even asked him a question is just, what kind of person would do that? Let alone the President of the United States.
Well,
I mean, he has no sense of decency and proportionality and boundaries. He seems to think that he can say anything he wants to about anybody, and that for some reason he has the right to do that. He does not have the right to lie about people, to insult people unnecessarily. He is becoming unraveled. And that puts our country, in my judgment, in serious jeopardy.
Well, and it's,
that's one of the reasons that I think whatever we've got to do to gain control of the Senate, I think we're going to gain control of the House of Representatives. I think that's almost a given at this point. But we need to capture the Senate because we need to put some constraints on Donald Trump.
As this went along, just a few days later, President Trump was in the middle of an interview with Meet the Press, which is the oldest program, I believe, on television still. And this is what happened in the middle of that interview, which aired on Sunday on NBC's Meet the Press. Let's take a listen to this.
The election was rigged. It was a dirty election.
Mr.
And it's
President,
happening again right now in California.
You've never presented evidence.
It's happening right now in California. Right now. It's 4 days
and they aren't even close
that's
to coming
they,
up
that's
with
how they count
you know
the
why
votes
they're doing that
California.
Because they're cheating on the election. No, they're crooked.
They're urging the votes to be counted quickly. That's how they vote in
crooked,
California.
They're crooked, just like you're crooked. Your press is crooked, and Meet the Press is crooked.
To be fair, I'm not crooked, but let's
really
let's
well
continue.
You play right into their hands.
Let's continue.
Let's call it quits because I've had enough. Thank you, darling. Have a good
Mr.
time.
Mr. President, let's please. I traveled all the way to Wisconsin.
I've sat in the rain with you.
I know.
I've sat in the rain with you for an hour. On and off in the rain, and I've given you enough time. You ought to straighten out your press because you know what?
Mr. President,
a country can never be great with a dishonest press.
Listen, we traveled all the way to Wisconsin for this interview.
And that was Sunday on NBC's Meet the Press. Governor Strickland, any thoughts on that one?
Well, I'm glad the country saw that behavior. I'm glad millions of Americans were able to see how that president reacted to that reporter who was simply doing her job. And he made accusations that are absolutely false. The truth is not in this man. He says things that are absolutely false. And that's an example. This man is obsessed with the fact that multiple years ago, Joe Biden beat him. He cannot accept ever losing. He cannot accept that. And so he is obsessed with regurgitating and going back and relitigating an election that is long past, where there is no evidence, no factual evidence of fraud. That reporter was just simply asking him to produce the evidence. That's all she was asking him to do. And he couldn't because there is no evidence of fraud in our elections. And so he is, as I said, Scott, I repeat myself, he's becoming unhinged. He is unraveling before our very eyes. And it seems to get worse by the week. And the fear that I have is, we're going to have this man as our president for the next 2.5 or more years. And what condition will he be in at the end of his presidency? It causes me to fear for the country. And that's why we need to put constraints on him. And the only way we do that is with Democrats winning the House and winning the Senate. And if we do that, then we can put the brakes on some of this insane behavior. And Scott, in addition to all of that, this man and his family have raised billions of dollars during the last year and a half while he's been president. I think he's selling the interests of this country to the Middle Eastern sheiks and authoritarian people around the world in order to become richer. And while he's doing that, we're all paying more for gasoline because of this war that he started, this, in my judgment, illegal war. He has yet to come before the Congress and get their sign-off on this war. And so, you know, farmers are in trouble. Decent people in all walks of life are struggling today while Donald Trump is spending all this money on a ballroom that most Americans will never be able to participate on or in. He's torn down the east wing of the White House. He's put up this god-awful structure so that we can have the ultimate fights on the White House lawn. He has unlawfully had his name put on the Kennedy Center. I mean, it goes on and on and on. And while Americans are suffering and paying more at the gas tank, Donald Trump is obsessed with his vanity projects. This arch he's going to build, veterans oppose it because it obstructs the view of Arlington National Cemetery. I mean, there's so much that he's doing that has nothing to do with his job as president, but simply to put his name on stuff. It's embarrassing.
Well, Governor Strickland, speaking of the war in Iran, yesterday it picked up a little bit, and continuing into today, U.S. military says it fired new strikes in Iran following the downing of an Apache helicopter. President Trump says that Iran is going to pay the price because they've taken too long to negotiate a deal. What do you think is going on in Iran?
I think the president has got himself in a situation and he does not know how to get out of it. Scott, the Strait of Hormuz was open before he started this war. Ships were passing through that strait uninhibited before he started this war. Farmers were able to get fertilizer. Oil was passing through. Gasoline was not $4.50 to $5 a gallon, and even higher in some places. And the destruction. God, on the first day of that war, we bombed a school that was filled with young children. Well over 120 of them were killed. We have yet to accept responsibility for that. I mean, it's tragic that we've lost American lives. Tragic that we've lost American lives. But it's also tragic that we killed over 120 young children with our bombs. And the Pentagon has yet to accept responsibility for that. That's not who we are as a nation, Scott. We are a moral nation. We have been. And yet, this president has taken us into a war. It's cost us billions and billions of dollars. And while we're spending those billions of dollars on this war, we're cutting health care for people. This big, beautiful bill that was passed that he likes to brag about, beginning next year, is going to throw hundreds of thousands of Americans off of health care. I mean, it is difficult to accurately describe the level of damage that he has done and is doing to this country of ours. And so that's why I think, I mean, Scott, I really think we're going to win. Democrats are going to win in November. I really do. I was at an event for Dr. Amy Acting last night, who's running for governor. I mean, people are getting behind her. She's raising money in small amounts from people all across Ohio. And she's running against this Ramaswamy, I call him, Ramaswamy, who is a privileged guy who grew up with great privilege. And yet he has the gall to say that Medicare and Medicaid were mistakes. Who in the hell does he think he is? He's never had to worry about health care for himself, because he's a billionaire. And yet he criticizes programs that are designed to help people in need. And so, Ohio and America will be making a choice in November as to what kind of people we want to lead our governments. And I believe in Ohio, Democrats are going to do really well. I think Sherrod Brown's going to be reelected to the Senate. I think Dr. Amy Acton is going to be elected as Ohio's first woman governor. And I believe we're going to sweep the ticket. And we can, you know, Ohio is in need of a change. It really is. This state has been under total Republican control for 20 years. No, not 20, before at least 15. Because 20 years ago, I was elected governor. And I was in office 4 years. And then John Kasich defeated me. So Republicans have been in charge of Ohio for almost two decades. And Ohio has lost ground educationally and in many other ways. Ohio is ranking at the middle or lower than the middle in most of the major economic rankings. And so it's time for a change in Ohio, and I think it's time for a change in America. And I think come November, we're going to see an outpouring of people of every political persuasion who are just sick and tired of what's happening, sick and tired of this Trump administration, and sick and tired of the leadership at the Ohio State House that is decimating our education system, taking our tax dollars and giving those tax dollars to private religious schools in violation of our state's constitution. We need a change, Scott, and I know I'm being kind of loud and maybe over the top this morning. I don't mean to be that, but I feel deeply about this. I think our country is at risk if we do not make the right decision come November.
No, and I think a lot of people would echo your sentiments here this morning. I want to talk about Amy Acton for a second, because this governor's race is rather interesting. The polls have been pretty tight for quite some time now, and the things that I hear, and by the way, I do want to make the case that a lot of Republicans are not happy with Vivek Ramaswamy. It's very interesting to talk to a lot of hardcore Mike DeWine, John Kasich Republicans, even Donald Trump Republicans, who are not happy with Vivek Ramaswamy at all. So I don't want to discount that there are a lot of people unhappy with him, and also that he's got a rough path if he wants to become governor. But what I hear from people in regard to Amy Acton, and we're getting very close now, 5 months away from this election, is I have heard people say, voters, people who will vote in the fall, they will say, there is no chance that I would vote for Vivek Ramaswamy. Absolutely no chance that I would do that. But Amy Acton, her events, a lot of her events are not open to the public. She doesn't do a lot of public events. She doesn't do a lot of media. I mean, I can attest to that. She was on last October, but really compared to other people running for office, she doesn't do a whole lot of that. And they don't hear her a lot speak off the cuff. What would you say to that?
Well, I've heard her speak off the cuff many times. I heard her speak for at least 45 minutes off the cuff last night. I heard her talk about the things that are important to Ohioans: health care, education, having an equal opportunity to pursue your dreams. She's everywhere in Ohio. Now, quite frankly, this is a tough time to be a candidate for public offices. You know that. Now, I don't know where Ramaswamy shows up. I really don't have any idea. I'm told that he seldom has, you know, public meetings with people. He flies around the state in a jet rather than driving from Toledo to Columbus or wherever. But Amy Acton is talking about the real issues, and people are responding. Scott, I've been around politics a long time. You know that. I've seen a lot of candidates, and a lot of candidates are good friends of mine. Sherrod Brown, Tim Ryan, you know, good friends of mine. In my judgment, Amy Acton is the most compelling, impressive candidate that I've seen in Ohio, bar none, including myself. She has compassion, she has empathy, she has wisdom, and I just think she's an exceptional human being. And like I say, I've been to multiple meetings with her, but it's tough to be a candidate in Ohio today, because, for one thing, I hate to say this, but there is some physical risk. There are people who are, you know, who will do crazy things and dangerous things. And so I appreciate the fact that candidates of both parties have to be more cautious than they were. You know, Scott, when I was running for Congress and when I was running for president, I would go to parades. I would walk parade routes. I'd shake hands with people along the parade route. That was before this MAGA movement came on board. And it made it almost impossible for candidates to have that kind of relationship with constituents. Because you never know when some angry person is going to do something that's going to be deadly. And I'm speaking candidly here. Politics has changed so much since I was in office, not that many years ago. And there is an anger and a polarization that I think is being encouraged by Donald Trump, quite frankly. When he calls a reporter stupid and ignorant, and when he tells lies about him being cheated out of an election, those are irresponsible things for anyone to say, but especially for the president to say, because his words have power. And there are people who will listen to him and believe what he says. And that increases, I think, the danger for all political candidates of either party.
Well, and I certainly think what you say is very valid, and I would also go along with the fact that Vivek Ramaswamy is not doing a whole lot of public events either. But I think that's one of the strange things about Amy Acton, because what you just said is almost what everybody who has met her at one of these private meetings or get-togethers does say. They say she's very compelling, she gives a good speech, she stays around until the event is over, she takes pictures with people, she shakes their hands, she talks to them. But when it comes to the media, very few interviews. When it comes to the public, very few chances to meet her. And I think it's just an interesting dynamic going on. Certainly, Nan Whaley and Rich Cordray did a lot more media than Amy Acton has done.
I understand that. And my preference, obviously, is for candidates to be out and about and open. But as I said, Scott, things have changed. Things have changed since Donald Trump was reelected the second time. There is a meanness out there that I think is being encouraged by Donald Trump and his followers. And I hate to say that, because I love campaigning myself. You know, Francis used to say to me, Ted, I think you enjoy campaigning more than you enjoy being in office. I just love getting out and walking the parade routes and shaking hands and going to festivals and all this kind of stuff. And I think that's, you know, for me, that's really important to be accessible to, you know, to everybody. But I don't know, you know, I never had to have security with me when I was running for office. When I was governor, I had Highway Patrol with me, but when I was congressman, and even when I was governor, there would be times when I would get out and by myself, go to the grocery store and so on and so forth. It's really tough for candidates to be able to do that today, and I wish it was not that way. I really do.
Well, and hopefully in the home stretch, even if she's not able to get out amongst the people as much, because we want everybody to stay protected, maybe we'll see more media appearances. That would be nice.
Yeah, I would like that, and I'll convey that sentiment to her campaign, certainly.
Well, I appreciate that. Governor Strickland, just one more note here on Amy Acton. She did make a pledge last week that was kind of interesting to have Republicans and Democrats in her cabinet should she become governor. What do you make of that statement?
Well, I think the fact that Amy has never run for political office, she's never been a political candidate, the fact that she worked with a Republican governor, Mike DeWine. So I think she has personally experienced the level of bipartisanship that many candidates don't. I think it's a good thing. I think it's an example of her trying to bridge the differences between the parties. Now, she's not going to have an extremist like Ramaswamy in her cabinet, but you know, Mike DeWine had her in his cabinet, and I think it's appropriate for her to consider having a cabinet that is composed of people of the other party. There are good people, you know. There are good people in both parties, absolutely. And Scott, one of the reasons that I think Amy is going to be elected governor, if I can go back 20 years ago, I was running for governor in Ohio, and during that season, there were several Republicans who wanted to be governor. You may remember there was Jim Petro, who's a good man and a friend. There was Betty Montgomery, who wanted to be governor. But the Republicans chose their weakest candidate. They chose Ken Blackwell. And he was by far their weakest candidate because he was an extremist. Now, this year, there were several Republicans who indicated an interest in being governor. There was Dave Yost. There was even Jim Tressel. But Donald Trump came into Ohio and blessed Ramaswamy, and Republicans chose Ramaswamy as their candidate. And I think he is by far the weakest candidate the Republicans have put forward. If Amy was running against Dave Yost, it'd be a much, much, much tougher race. If she was running against Jim Tressel, it'd be a much tougher race. But the Republicans chose their candidate in Ramaswamy because he's a rich guy, I guess. He's a billionaire. But he's an extremist. Anyone today that says Medicare was a mistake is totally out of touch with human beings and ordinary people. So they've got their weakest candidate. I think we've got our strongest candidate that we've had in many, many years. And that's why I think Amy's going to be the next governor.
You know, Governor Strickland, I wanted to ask you about this because we've got the 250th anniversary of our country right around the corner here, less than a month away. And we just had an incident with graduation here right next door to Marion in Cardington. And this has now been on the Columbus News. I'm going to read through this just to get your thoughts on this. But it's a Cardington Lincoln High School valedictorian says portions of his graduation speech were removed before commencement and that he was interrupted after going off script during Sunday's ceremony. The district says it followed established procedures for graduation speeches and focused on creating a positive experience for all graduates. Brandon Hughes, the class of 2026 valedictorian, said the message he wanted to deliver was aimed at students who may not always feel seen or included. My message originally was never intended to be about the school. It was never intended to be any personal insult. My heart, when I wrote the speech, was truly about the kids who feel less seen. You said school officials required him to remove portions of the speech he submitted for approval. When he submitted the speech for approval. Video from Sunday's ceremony shows Hughes continuing to speak after finishing his prepared remarks. As he continued speaking, Principal Ron Williams approached the podium. Hughes stepped aside and the ceremony proceeded. Hughes was saying at the time, "I apologize if my speech seems watered down. There's a lot more I would have liked to say to Cardington. Freedom of speech does not apply to valedictorian speeches." Hughes said that the envelope he received on stage did not contain his diploma, though he did say he received it shortly after the ceremony ended. In a statement from the school, It said it graduated 75 students and remains committed to providing a positive graduation experience for all. Our commitment to the school remains steadfast to create a graduation experience that centers on the entire class, making it both enjoyable and unforgettable for everyone involved. So the valedictorian gets up, gives the speech. Parts of his speech were taken out by the school. He says free speech doesn't exist there, and the principal kind of pushes him aside at the end of his speech, and his diploma is held. What do you make of a story like this?
Well, I think if someone is chosen to be a speaker, they should be allowed to share their thoughts. Now, maybe they want to just get rid of valedictorian speeches altogether, but if they're going to have them, then it seems to me that, I mean, one of the greatest freedoms we have in this country is the freedom of speech. And it seems to me that if a student is chosen to give a valedictorian speech, they should be allowed to give that speech as long as it's not obscene or, you know, but if it's just that individual's thoughts, then it seems to me that the student should have been allowed to give his speech, or he shouldn't have been given the privilege of giving a speech at all.
It's an interesting question because we have seen these valedictorian speeches in the last few years cause an uproar in a lot of places, and it seems as if the school seems to get more involved as time goes along in these speeches, and even though they did give him his diploma, apparently it wasn't there when he reached down to get the diploma after the speech.
That seems like petty behavior to me, but I wasn't there and I don't know all the circumstances. But just based on what you've shared with me, it seems to me that it was overkill, yeah, on the part of the school.
And I think there was just also a little upset. There was a little upset nature here that the school did not apologize for how the speech ended. I think that was part of it as well.
Yes. Yeah, I can understand why that would be upsetting to a lot of people. I mean, it just seems like it was an unnecessary incident that caused a lot of people to feel badly, I guess.
Governor Strickland, I want to come back to this. 250th anniversary of the country coming up here in just under a month, as I said. A new poll has come out that says 1 in 5 Democrats are proud to be an American and 2 in 3 Republicans are proud to be an American based on the current state of the country. What do you make of those numbers?
Well, this is what I think about that. And I'm on the 250th commission here in Ohio. Governor DeWine asked that I do that. And I'm going to Marietta, as a matter of fact, on Friday to participate in one of the 250 commission meetings. I think you can love your country, as I do, but vehemently be opposed to a particular administration that happens to be in power at any given time. The country is bigger than Donald Trump. It's bigger than Ted Strickland. It's bigger than any politician. So I criticize this administration strongly. And let's just take Israel as an example. I support the nation of Israel. I've been there multiple times. I want them to be protected from those who would try to destroy them. But I strongly oppose Benjamin Netanyahu and what he is doing. I oppose what he did in Gaza, with the indiscriminate slaughter of women and children. I understand that Israel has a right to exist and needs our protection. I understand that. So I support Israel, but I don't support Israeli government at this time. I love America, but I don't love the Trump administration. So I think people need to make a distinction between the country and any particular governmental leader at any given time. And that may be reflected in that poll that you just shared. I don't know for sure. We have a wonderful country. And that's why I think it's important for us to preserve it and protect it. I think our Constitution is a magnificent document, but I see our Constitution being violated by the Trump administration almost on a daily basis. And so I oppose the Trump administration, but I love the country.
You know, Governor Strickland, when in our final question here, when we look at President Trump right now and where we are in the state of this country as we approach the 250th anniversary of it, you talked about obviously doing some work in the psychological field. What do you think is going on with President Trump? A lot of people have talked about his health, that maybe his health is off. Maybe he is psychologically off. A lot of people have said he's racist. How do you feel on these issues in regard to President Trump at this point in his second term?
Well, there's a character disorder that's referred to as narcissism, and others psychiatrists and others have described Donald Trump as a malignant narcissist. And a narcissist seems to have little ability to have empathy for anyone else but themselves. And I see those behaviors in Donald Trump. I think if anyone just has their eyes open, they can see that Donald Trump is enriching himself. I mean, when Jimmy Carter became president, he owned a peanut farm. And he put that peanut farm in a blind trust so that he wasn't making decisions based on what may benefit his peanut farm. Oh, we're a long way from that with this administration.
Yep.
You know, it is incredible that on a daily basis, Donald Trump acts as if he is a king and that he can do whatever he chooses. He can put his name on the Kennedy Center. It's going to have to be taken off because it was illegally put on there. He can tear down the East Wing without conferring with the appropriate authorities before he did it. He just did it. He acts as if there are no limits to his power. There are limits. There are constitutional limits on the power of the presidency. And that's why I am fearful for what may happen during the next 2.5 years. Because I do believe there is a disintegration of his cognitive abilities. And I think his emotional stability is showing signs of unraveling. I mean, to talk to that reporter, to Caitlin like that, to just berate her in front of others and call her names and say you're ignorant and you're stupid. And I mean, what kind of president would do that? There is something going on with this man that is very unhealthy. And I think people are starting to see that. But he still has such control over his MAGA base.
Yep.
They seem to see no ability to see what's right before their eyes. I remember early on, Donald Trump said something that I've never forgotten. He said, don't believe what you read, Don't believe what you hear. Don't believe what you see. He encouraged people to overlook his behaviors. And I think many have and are starting to realize that's been very detrimental to the country.
Governor Strickland, with 10 seconds left to go, do you believe Donald Trump's a racist?
I do. And I believe the Secretary of Defense, who calls himself the Secretary of War, is a racist. Why is it that he is denying promotions to qualified women and to qualified African Americans who have served this country, developed distinguished careers, and when it comes time for promotions, he seems to find women and blacks to remove from those promotional lists? That's a sign of racism, in my judgment. And I believe Donald Trump is, in fact, a racist. And I believe many in his administration, including the Secretary of Defense, are racist. Mm-hmm. And they are religious. This Secretary of Defense is a religious bigot. He's a religious bigot. Mm-hmm. And you know, he's bringing Christian nationalists into the Pentagon to preach to soldiers. Apparently, he attends a church that believes that women should not have the right to vote. Think of that.
It's a different time in our history for sure. Governor Strickland, I cannot thank you enough for coming on. And during our 12th anniversary week, and actually the 12th anniversary day, I have to say you have always been very good to me. You've come to Marion. You were actually here on election morning 2018, that governor's race. Yeah, between Cordray and DeWine. You have been to Marion several times. It's always a pleasure to be around you. And everybody says you are one of the friendliest, most accessible people around. And I would absolutely have to echo those comments. And you're always a great guest because you are very candid. You speak your mind and you say how you feel. And I think even the people who might not agree with you have to respect you for that. And I certainly am in your debt for all the times you've come on, and hopefully will continue to come on in the future. Thank you, Governor Strickland.
Well, Scott, can I say something quickly?
Sure, go ahead.
I have said to you personally, and something that I believe deeply, that you are a talent. You are a talent, and you should have a national audience. I really believe that you have that kind of talent that is unusual and rare. So I just want you to know that I think that about you.
Well, I'll tell you what, I take that as high praise. Thank you, Governor Strickland.
Have a great day, and all your listeners as well.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Hey, that's not too bad. Governor Strickland, we'll be back right after this.
Approximately 6:14 a.m., troopers responded to a rest area on the eastbound side of U.S. 30 in Richland County, following reports of an unresponsive person on the ground in the parking lot. Upon